Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Union Bank of India earnings conference call for the period ended September 30th, 2022. The bank is represented by the Managing Director and CEO, Ms. A. Manimekhalai, Executive Directors, Shri Nitesh Ranjan, Shri Rajneesh Karnatak, Shri Neetu Saxena, and other members of the top management. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Now, I hand over the call to Mrs. Ranjita Suresh, Assistant General Manager, Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, madam.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I, Ranjita Suresh, Head of Investor Relations, welcome you all for the Union Bank of India earnings con call for the period ended September 30th, 2022. The structure of the con call shall include a brief opening statement by MD and CEO, and then the floor will be open for interaction. Before getting into the con call, I'll read out the usual disclaimer statement. I would like to submit that certain statements that may be discussed during the investor interaction may be forward-looking statements based on the current expectations. These statements involve a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors that cause the actual results to differ from the statements. Investors are therefore requested to check the information independently before making any investments or other decisions. With this, I now request our MD and CEO for her opening remarks. Thank you. Over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon to all of you. At the outset, let me wish you all a happy Diwali. Today we have come out with our results, and coming to the Union Bank's business and financials for the quarter ended September 30 for FY 2023. The bank has continued to post strong financials as the total business has grown by 17.33% YoY. The total advances registered a growth of 21.92%. Within that, the RAM sector has grown by 14.45%, and domestic advances is standing at 54.57% as against the corporate credit of 46%. The total deposits has grown by 14.14% YoY, led by a CASA deposit growth of 9.42% YoY. The CASA ratio is standing at 35.63% as of September 30, 2022. The net interest income grew by 21.61% of YoY. The NII stood at 305 crores, and the global NIM is 3.15% for the quarter ended FY 2023. The operating profit of the bank has improved by 8.29% YoY to 6,577 crores, and the net profit is at 1,848, registering a growth of 21.07%. The asset quality of the bank has improved. The gross NPA ratio stands at 8.45%. And the net NPA stands at 2.64%, which is 197 basis points over September 2021. The CRAR has improved to 13.64%, from 13.64% to 14.5%. And the return on assets is also at 0.61%. As you are aware, the bank has brought many structural changes in the existing setup by way of introduction of various STP journals, MSME and retail segments. We have also introduced specialized branches, corporate relations cell, and various other initiatives have been taken by the bank to increase the business and to increase the footsteps of the bank. With this, we have also, if you remember, that we have given guidance for the financial year 2023, and let me reiterate the guidance. The deposit growth was to the extent of about 10% for FY 23, advances growth in the range of 10 to 12%, CASA ratio in the range of 37%, NIM to be around 3%, credit cost at 1.7%, delinquency ratio at less than 2%, and gross NPA less than 9%, and NNPA at less than 3%. These are my opening remarks, and we are now open for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Ashok Ajmera from Ajcon Global Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am, for giving this opportunity. And compliments to you for coming out with good set of numbers and almost on every parameter. Having said that, I've got a couple of observations, questions, and some clarification. My first clarification I would like to have, which is on the taxation front, with Mr. Samuel, can I elaborate this total note, you know, note number 14, that reverse DTA of 1,436 crore and then reversal of the provision of taxation of earlier years of 607 crore. So, in nutshell, during this quarter, how much amount is impacted in the provisions for taxation and in other provisions? Can you please get me this clarification, ma'am?
Yeah, sure, Ajra sir. You have rightly read it. There is a reversal of deferred tax of 1,436 crore during the quarter. So which is a hit to the profit.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. The audio is not clear from your line.
Whose line? My line or Mr. Samal's line?
Yes, Samal's line.
Yeah, Ajra sir, can you listen now?
No, I can hear you, sir.
Yeah.
So what I want to know basically that in provision for tax is only 652 crore, which is around say 22-23% of or 25% of the profit of this quarter. So how much of this reversal of DTA and reversal of provision of taxation, these figures have gone into the other provisions?
Right, as you are rightly said and also disclosed in our notes and accounts, 1,436 crore is a deferred tax reversal which is a hit to the profit and loss account, right? And there is another, we have disclosed that there is a provision reversal of 607 crore which is a provision reversal on account of certain IGB and other post decision that has come in bank favor, because we normally provide our taxation on a conservative basis and pay advance tax. But sometimes when we get the payment relief. So that is the principle basically. Because we have to pay on a conservative basis so that there should not be interest and penalty demand on our collection. So on that account we got 607 crore reversal. So the difference between two is basically the net into the profit and loss account. And you know the bank for the current year also, because of our higher provision schedule is right up, the bank tax liability is going to be very, very minimum, and we are continuing to pay the tax under MAT, minimum alternative tax, because normal provision tax is very less. So we also take the MAT credit on it. Another difference between the MAT tax and MAT credit. So all these put together, the net will come into whatever you are disclosing.
So, as a prudent measure you have done, made provision you have done, but based on this final court judgment and this thing, these figures will be added in the profit of the bank, according to you, isn't it?
Right, MAT we are contesting, there are different decisions, something in favor of the bank, something against other banks. So that is there, that has gone to a larger bench of, special bench of the tribunal. So that itself will come adjustment. So there will not be much, because we are paying MAT, we are doing MAT provision and taking MAT credit, so much things will not be there. Both sides it will be nullified.
Sir, my second question is on this note number 12 of the fraud account. Generally, all the banks are giving the full number. that how much was the profit in this quarter, how much provided for, how much total provision is made, whereas in your case it is only has been given, has been provided for. So in this quarter, how much provision for the fraud accounts has been done beyond whatever has been carried forward about 1,100 crore something?
What happens now, when we declare any account as fraud, so automatically 100% provision is made. That is the default system takes 100% provision. But then our policy, as per our policy, in the whatever RBI has permitted the bank, bank has the option to carry forward the provision into 4 quarters, and we do that whenever the fraud is declared. So these are the, 1,135 crore basically carried forward.
In this quarter, how much has been provided for?
This quarter it may not be much. I tell you, I don't have the figure right now because it gets factored into the aging provisions actually. So therefore, right now I am not able to tell you exactly how much. But then I will tell you a detail from 1135 crore which we are carrying forward. It basically remains as two major accounts. ILSS Tamil Nadu, which is basically a large account in which 650 crores are there, which will be fully provided next quarter. December quarter, it will be fully settled in our aging provision. So, it is totally, it will be wiped out. Similarly, another large account is there. So, it will be going ahead, it will be in the next December and March quarter, it will be fully up
there. Okay. My next question is on the recovery, ma'am. On the recovery front of about that 10,000 crore of target, can we have a clear picture now in these 2 quarters, whatever has happened, and now going forward in the remaining 2 quarters, where do we stand? And are we increasing this target of recovery? And what is the status of the NARCL now going to, I mean, I believe that nothing has been done up to 30th September 2022, but going forward, how many accounts and how much amount is going there?
Ajmera ji, the guidance is 15,000 crores for recovery, and as on date we have done 8,900 crores we have already recovered. So we are keeping the guidance to 15,000 crores. Regarding NARCL, Ashok will
Yeah, good afternoon, Ajmera sir. As of now, yes, there is a visibility of 3 accounts, which is already there in the public domain, which has been, EOI has been given by the NARCL. And these 3 accounts, so we are there in these 3 accounts. So there are other 2 accounts where our exposure is not there. So these 3 accounts, our exposure is around 1,000 crore and we are likely to get around 444 crore.
Out of 1,000 crore, you are going to get 4,444 crore?
Yes.
No, that is the total this thing, or it is including the cash and the
this is total. This is total.
This is the total amount which we are going to get in.
Yeah, resolution.
Okay, ma'am. Now coming, ma'am, on this credit side growth. Our sanctions amount, as we generally see, is much higher than the amount actually disbursed, especially in the corporate books. So I would like to just have a little picture of that how much during the quarter we have sanctioned and how much during the quarter we have disbursed, especially in the corporate book, ma'am. And going forward, what is our plan to achieve this growth of 12% of the advances?
So as on date, we have got about unavailed limit of about 21,000 crores. So sanctions to disbursal is almost like 60 to 70%. And going forward, we will be able to, reach the target that what we have given to the range of 10 to 12%. We will be able to achieve that kind of a growth numbers.
Sir, please go ahead.
Yeah. So, go ahead. So as Madam said, we have got a unutilized limits of 21,000 crores. Other than that, we have got sanction limits. Put together, we have around 50,000 crores of portfolio which we have. Maybe some of them are under documentation. some of them are in you know, in principle traction. So put together it will be 50,000 crores or 50,000 crores of pipeline we have. So we have a clear visibility of, you know, of credit growth in the coming quarter.
Thank you. Mr. Ajmera, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from BNK Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Mundra, your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello.
Mr. Mundra,
hello.
Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi sir. Hi ma'am. Good evening. I have a couple of questions. One is, there was a recent RBI notification on new rating norms, wherein RBI has mandated that the bank's name should be clearly mentioned in the rating document of the rating agency to get the rating benefit. Just wanted to understand, ma'am, what is the intent behind the RBI behind this circular, and how are we practice? What are the normal practice as of now?
Yeah. To respond, basically, this is for large exposure accounts. What RBI has observed that in large exposure accounts, the rating is, say, if it is a 7,000 crore rating, it does not mention which are the banks for which this rating is. This 7,000 crore total rating. There may be a multiple banking account which has 10 to 15 banks or a consortium account which is having 12 banks. So there is a short-term rating and a long-term rating. To obviate this, what RBI is now saying to the rating agencies and banks is that you mention the name of the bank for which the rating is ascribed for the amount which is given. So this is the basic intent of RBI.
Right. So if you have, let us say, three facility and maybe, you know, multiple facility, that rating has to be there for each of the facility, or it would be at, you know, single bank level?
Yeah, so what happens is normally sometimes it happens that, say, Union Bank has given a term loan of 500 crore and a cash credit of 200 crores, right? So 700 crore exposure is there in account, and now we sanction another 400 crore of a term loan, fresh term loan. So if that 400 crore term loan, additional term loan is not reflecting in the rating now, henceforth, then it will be an issue. So immediately the auditors will also catch it, and others will also come to know that this 400 crore which we have given fresh is not covered. So this is the basic intent here.
Right. And now after this circular gets implemented from March, in this case, the rating document would have the clear detail of Union Bank in these three facility, right? It would be facility wise, or it would still be corporate level exposure?
Yeah, it should be bank-wise total exposure. So further clarity is yet to come. Presently, what we are presuming is bank-wise. Say, State Bank has given to X company this much, Union Bank has given this much, right. Bank of Baroda has given this much. This kind of thing would be there.
Right. Understood.
So another clarification which we are awaiting from RBI is with respect to whether, though it will be kicking off on 1st April 2023, but there are certain ratings which will get due after 15 months as per RBI guidelines.
Right.
So will that happen after the re-rating happens, or do the Reserve Bank wants it to be effective in all ratings as on 1st April? That clarification is yet to come from RBI.
Right. Understood, sir. That is very well explained. And ma'am, on interest income this quarter, right, so there is a very strong loan growth and there is a very strong interest income growth, income on loans. I just wanted to check, so it has gone up from 12,000 crore to 13,800 crore. Is there any one-off or is there any component which has come from, you know, NPA recovery and has now become a part of the interest on advances?
About 700 crore has come from... Hello?
Yeah, ma'am. Sorry.
I was just telling you that about 700 crores has come from NPA recovery in this amount. In that 13,811 that you are seeing, about 700 crores has come from NPA recovery.
Understood. And rest is all business as usual, right? In the
yes,
the normal interest.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And ma'am, in your guidance slide, you know, while we have done very well, I mean, it looks like either you have not updated the guidance or, you know, I'm not able to understand that advances growth so far is 21.9% and we are still maintaining like 10-12% range. Do you see a very sharp deceleration in the business growth in the second half, or how should we look at the advances growth and same as the GNPA number that you have put out?
No, this is only a mathematical thing situation which is there. The 20% growth of advance which we are seeing now is year on year, right? So we are comparing it from September 21 to September 22. September 21, our advance was not elevated actually. The growth has happened post-March actually. It happened in March. The acceleration happened in December 21, then March 22, then June 22. Now it has been growing in the last three quarters. So March 22-23 guidance we are keeping at 10-12 because our March 22 advance was elevated. So it has already started picking up. So the percentage growth in March 23 we are, that is why keeping at a rate of 10-12% only.
Right. Understood. And last question, sir, from my side, our core CET1 Tier 1 number that you have put out, this includes the first half PAT, right? Or it does not include the first half PAT?
No, that didn't include the PAT.
Sorry, sir, I missed that.
It doesn't include the profit. Quarterly profit we don't take.
This is including or not including?
It is not including, Jay.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, ma'am. Thanks for the clarification and all the best, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, ma'am. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good numbers.
Thank you, Nitin.
Ma'am, I'll take forward from this guidance side again. So the first half growth is already 10%. So when you look at, by March, of course, is an elevated advances number, and we did see advances growth picking up last year in the second half. But over the March closing, we are already up 10%. And so which is where, if you can indicate as to what sort of, say, some of these key operational numbers like margins, asset quality and advances growth are we really looking for during FY23, because we are tracking significantly ahead.
Yeah, so as far as guidance is concerned, we are keeping the guidance at the same number. Reason being, that is a lot of geopolitical and other issues which are there in the market. So factoring that, we are not changing the guidance at present.
And
Mr. Agarwal, sorry to interrupt you. The audio is breaking from your line. Please check. Mr. Agarwal, the audio is breaking from your line.
So, shall I come back if it's not audible?
Yeah, please proceed now. Mr. Agarwal, request you to rejoin the question queue. The audio is breaking from your line.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Anand Ladda from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello, ma'am. Ma'am, congrats for a good set of numbers. Ma'am, just wanted to understand, our NII includes 700 crore of interest recovery from NPA. If I had to exclude the same, then our NII is almost flat this quarter on a QOQ basis. So just want to understand, ma'am, despite the RBI repo rate hike, we haven't seen any margin improvement for us. If you can give some outlook on NIM side.
Yeah, NIM is almost 3.15% as for this quarter. And we have kept the guidance to 3%. The repo, whatever the 190 basis points that RBI has given us, that has been factored into in our repo linked rate. 190 basis points EBLR has been already passed on to the customers. And to MCLR, to the extent of 65%, it has already been passed on. And our yield on advances has also improved to 7.65% for this quarter. And going forward, we will see, because these things came only in this quarter. In the last two month of this quarter. Going forward, we will see some increase in our interest on advances.
Okay. Ma'am, if I have to remove this 700 crore rupee you indicated, which is the recovery of interest on return of asset, if I have to remove that because that's one-off, then our NII growth has been almost like flat QOQ.
So about 13, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, if you see the last quarter, the factoring of the interest recovery in the NPA, last quarter also it was 600 crore was there. So every quarter if you see the recovery through the NPA account in the interest component, that is around 600 to 700 crore.
In September 21?
So September also, you want the September 21, it was around 340 crore.
Okay, same quarter last year was 640 crore rupee, this quarter it is 700 crore rupee.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That component is constant. I think it is in the range of around 600 to 700. That component will continue in the next quarter also. So it is not one of item. It is like your interest income on the standard assets also.
Perfect, perfect. I mean, if you can give some, this quarter the slippages were quite low. If you can give some outlook for the full year slippages, how do you see that? Do you see this run rate of current quarter sustainable for us? And also, if you can give some outlook on provision cost for us.
See, the guidance is, you know, the slippages will be to the extent of 3%. That is what we want to keep it. 2% is what we want to keep. And this time the slippages were to the extent of 2,913 crores. And we are, you know, hopeful that we will be able to reduce this numbers going forward. The slippages what we are seeing is, you know, the stresses what we are seeing is only in MSME book and retail. And retail slippages are not coming up, only in MSME book and agri we are seeing some slippages, which we will be able to reduce further.
And despite that, you wanted to keep your guidance of 3%. I think you will end up this year with a 2% slippages run rate.
Yeah, we hope to reach that number.
Okay. But this quarter, the recovery and upgrades were higher than the slippages.
Yes.
Do you believe that this is sustainable for us? What sort of recovery upgrades we expect for the full year?
See, we were looking at 15,000 crores of upgradation and recovery for the whole year, FY23, and slippages to the tune of 13,000. That was the guidance given. So what we have done is for this H1 FY23, we have done 8,900 crores of recovery and about 6,000 and odd crores of slippages. So we will be able to reach the guidance that what we have given. My slippages will be below the recovery and upgradations. Much below that.
Okay, okay. And lastly, on the tax rate side, we are on the new tax regime or we are still in the old tax regime?
We are in the old regime only.
And by when do you believe we will move to the new tax regime?
We are reviewing that. Current year also our current tax liability is now going to be substantial. It will be minimum because we are also writing a lot of loans now. So we'll review this next year. This year we are not moving to lower tax regime. In fact, our current tax will be very, very minimum. Next year we'll review and let you know.
Okay. And ma'am, for us, this first half, if I see the loan growth, a bulk of the loan growth has come from the corporate sector. If you can use some color, which sector have the growth come in, demand has come in?
Yeah, the, RAM growth is also, RAM also has grown to the extent about 14.95%. And this has grown by, of course, by 21%. The corporate book has grown by about 21%. The growth has come in the corporate sector with regard to infrastructure. Lending has happened on NBFCs. We have seen some growth on chemical. We have seen some growth in steel and pharma and cements also.
Textiles,
we have seen some growth.
And okay. Perfect. And do you believe that quarter on quarter from here on the growth will decelerate significantly?
Yes. But our guidance is that we want to keep our corporate books at 40, RAM at 55.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of MB Mahesh from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. I have two questions, ma'am. One is, there has been a sharp jump again in the international loan book. If you can just kind of give us some color, what is the nature of these exposures that you're taking today? And whether they have some linkages back to Indian corporates out there. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. So, I don't know if you heard the question.
Are you able to hear?
Yeah, I'm able to hear now, but I don't know if you heard my question, ma'am.
No, that's what you're talking about the, in our overseas business. There has been a sharp jump in the advances in the overseas book. That was the question. Yeah, that is what Bala, my IBD Chief General Manager, is replying to your question.
Good afternoon.
Yes,
Mahesh. This is basically we didn't concentrate any of the like the Indian or like that. We don't have any differentiation. Basically, these are syndicated loans, and much of the new sanctions are for the banks. Basically, to top one of the prime banks, we have given the majority of that. Of course, there are one or two India-based companies also, ECB loans, they have given during this particular half year.
Now, these exposures that you take, what is the kind of duration that you typically take on these loans?
Duration. Yeah, we are, on an average, we are taking around 3 years, not beyond 3 years. We have a request for around 5 years also, but we are not taking that.
Average payout is 3 years.
Yeah. Maximum payout is average payout is 3 years.
Okay. Ma'am, second question to you. There is about 1,500 crores provision on standard assets this quarter. What is that pertaining to?
Am I audible now?
We are a little bit distant, but we can hear. It's definitely clear. Can hear it.
Sir, these are relating to standard asset provision, mostly relating to certain large corporate accounts where there are some delay in resolution plan implementation because there are accounts in multiple banks, these accounts, there are exposure in multiple banks. And there is RBI circular which says that when there is a default, the bank has to put in place a resolution plan. So basically, these are certain large accounts which we have on. It's for the RBI guidelines.
Sorry, so you mean to say that these are NPAs currently in your books, though? Or these should potentially become an NPA?
No, there is no NPA. There is no NPA.
So just to clarify, all these accounts are either consortium account or multiple accounts. And they are hitting the 7th June 2019 circular, wherein there is in-out of SMA in the CRILIC. So that is where the RBI observation was to make provision in these accounts. And these are all the common industry accounts where other banks are also there.
Okay, but that number seems to be fairly large, right? Because if you're saying it's...
entire part is not for those accounts. So this entire provisioning is not for those accounts. There is a normal standard provisioning also of 0.25, 0.41% also, and some COD provisioning also where the infrastructure projects where we extend the COD beyond 2 years, we have to make 5% provision. So all these combined together is this figure of 1,400 crores.
Right.
Okay, and my final question, waste settlement, do you start making provisions from next quarter? How, what is the thinking behind that?
December quarter we will start making provisions.
Okay. Done. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suraj Das from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi ma'am. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. Most of the question has been answered. Only a couple of questions. In your DTA book, what would be the total outstanding accumulated losses, if you can give us the figure?
DTA.
Total
DTA accumulated loss.
DTA. As of now, our accumulated deferred tax balance is 10,335.
Sorry, sir, 10,000 crore is the total DTA book. What would be the accumulated losses, total
losses.
Accumulated losses?
No, we don't create any DTA on accumulated losses. This is not on account of losses. Basically, the difference comes on account of the provisioning because whatever bad debt provisioning we make in our book, everything is not allowable for income tax. That's the reason the difference comes. We don't create any DTA on losses.
Okay. But you would be having some you know accumulated losses on your book, right? Even if you don't have DTA on that, but you still have some accumulated losses on your book, right?
That is there. That is there. But we take very conservatively. So as of now, around 3,000 crores of accumulated losses are still there to set up against our taxable income on a conservative basis.
3,000 crores. That is you are saying.
2,900.
Okay, okay, understood. And now in the ECLGS book, which is roughly around 16 billion, so what would be the GNP or delinquency here in this book on the ECLGS?
Arun, you have any data on that? ECLGS, how much is an NPA?
3.5% is NPA.
3.5%.
3.5% is SMA2.
About ECLGS book, 3.5% is the NPA and same amount under stress also.
Okay, okay, understood. And the last question from my side would be on the restructured book. So you have given restructuring 1.0 and 2.0 figures. Is there any other restructuring number, I mean, which is pertaining to previous, you know, earlier MSME scheme or CDR, SDR or anything outside these two numbers?
No. RF1 and RF2 numbers we have given, this is the only restructured book that we have got. And one time restructuring also under COVID, that also we have given you. There the gross advances, the percentages to gross advances is 2.6%.
Okay, okay. So this 20,000 crore, this is the total restructured book for the bank?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Suraj.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Oja from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So only one question from my side. Please indicate on the tax rate for H2
FY23. FY23 is normal tax rate. We are in the normal tax rate.
Okay. Okay, fine. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rakesh Kumar from Systematics Shares. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity, ma'am. Just two questions I have. Firstly, if I see the domestic investment book, you know, the yield has gone up by around 10 bips, 10, 11 bips in the first half or maybe from the June to September also the movement is just around 15 bits. We are holding the duration of around 0.5 years on the SLR side, and the majority of the investment book would be SLR itself, around 90% plus. So why that, you know, we have seen in the market that, you know, yield movement is pretty sharp on the shorter end. Why our yield has, you know, gone up by just around, 13, 14 bits. So what is the reason behind it?
But these are all shortened duration treasury bills which don't have any much impact on the yield movement. Our portfolio 60% consists of the treasury bill, that is why the duration is very low. So impact on the shortened curve though moved up, but treasury bill yields have not gone up such an extent. That is why we are not having much impact on the MTM portfolio as well as on the interest rate yield curves.
No, sir. I was not referring to the MTM losses. That would certainly not be there if it is FRB or if it is a T-bill. I was referring to the yield movement in the system, and our yield movement on the domestic book is just around 10-13 bps, though the yield movement in the system is much, much higher. So if you see the 364 days T-bill, it has gone up by, you know, by around 50-55 bps in this quarter itself. So why our yield movement is not, you know, reflecting what is happening in the system? Because if the duration is so low, we would have churned the book also. So
yes, we are. These treasury bills are 91 days and 180 days. The majority of our 60% of the portfolio is treasury bill. So it is got matured and it has been replenished with the new 91 days T-bill. So the impact will be 15 to 20 bps only.
Okay, I will take it offline, sir. So the next question I had on this, you know, slide number 16 that is given on a corporate loan rating. So we have double B and below of around 11%. So out of this 11%, what would be the number of, you know, percentage of loan which are actually not rated, like, you know, like some of the government SCBs and all, and what are the remaining portion? Thank you, sir.
See, this 11% of the double B and below are, you know, mostly MSME loans. And this is all covered under the CGTMSE. So you cannot say that, you know, these are not unrated ones.
Okay, so these are rated, but rated double B and below and are covered under the CGTMSE.
CGTMSE, yes.
All loans.
Yeah, some portion must be, you know, the personal loans also. But these are all loans that we give to salaried employees or where, you know, the account is with the bank itself for quite some time. And this is through an STP journey that we have given this personal loans. But majority, almost 90% of the double B and below are MSME loans only.
Sure, sure. Very nice. Very nice, ma'am. Thanks. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you. Thank you, Rakesh.
Thank you.
As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for the insightful discussions. We are grateful to the analysts and the investor fraternity for their continued support and feedback that helps us to take informed decisions in our journey towards efficiency and profitability. Once again, wishing you all happy Diwali. Thank you, all of you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Union Bank of India, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.